Let's lift our hands to the Lord today. We praise you, O God, and we worship you. And there is such truth in the fact that there is no place that we'd rather be than together worshiping Jesus Christ, asking for more of our God, more of our Lord, more of the things of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And we praise you and we thank you. I think it'd be very appropriate if we take a moment of quiet, and then I'm going to pray and remember the town of Humboldt, Saskatchewan today, and the incredible tragedy that took place on Friday, and the loss, the horrendous loss of life, and a tragedy that will be forever etched in the memory of that little community, but that somehow, through the grace and love of our God and our Savior, that that community would be drawn together, and that greater than that, that our nation would be gathered together and in prayer and in thoughts towards these families that have, just like that, are experiencing horrific, horrific loss. So let's take a moment of quiet. Father God, we pray for that community of Humboldt this morning. We pray for every community that has been affected and all of the families that have, Father God, that have lost young men. The coach, Lord, his wife, as he passed away, the radio broadcaster, Lord. And how tragedy can strike at a time when we're never thinking about it and in ways that we can't imagine. And so the shaking that is going on right now in their lives, Lord, these families, we commit them into your care. We commit them to you, Father God. And Father, we pray, because in our human mind, in our thinking, we go, how can you bring good out of this? But your word clearly says that you can make all things work together. And yet in the midst of, we're worshiping the Lord this morning, we're here together, there are families who are shaking in the midst of tragedy. Father, we lift them to you. We pray for the community leaders. We pray for the mayor, and we pray for whoever owns that hockey team. And Father, we pray for pastors in that community, spiritual leaders, Lord. And Father, we pray that you would gather that community together, because it is amazing out of this pain, Lord, what can come. And so we pray, Father God, that the God of all comfort, you would overshadow that community of Humboldt today, Lord. And in the days ahead, I believe there's a memorial today, and we pray for that, Father. But God, let it do something to the heart of our nation. Let this speak to the heart of our nation. That God, we're on a collision course, Father, unless things change. And Father, we pray that God, you somehow in your love and your goodness and kindness would heal. You would heal, Lord, we pray. I pray for the driver of the semi-truck, Lord. And they're investigating. They don't know what really happened, but we pray for him. He is alive. And Father, what he must be going through in his mind, Lord. And we pray for him and his family. So we cover all of this. Father, we pray for the rest of our time together. Pray for the message that it would be the Holy Spirit that would speak through me, Lord. That we would be challenged today, that we can't settle, Father. We cannot settle for what we know is norm. that God, you're calling us and you're unsettling us, Lord, for a greater purpose, a divine moment, a divine destiny that's been written on our hearts before the foundations of the world. We pray that. Speak to us all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, thank you for giving me this opportunity on this April 8th of 2018 to be able to speak to you today. And our journey of 11 years here is and has coming to a close. And it's been a journey. It's been an amazing journey. And I want to first thank all of you for putting up with me. You can clap. Sure. And all of the amazing journey of 11 years and all that God has done, all that God has brought us through as a church, how he's brought Becky and I through, how he's brought the pastoral team through, and here we are today. I don't know about you, but I woke up this morning with a song on my heart. Did you? It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Oh, my goodness. Who ordered the snow? If you are here, security will be at your seat. My goodness. Boy, where did 11 years go? You ever think about your life? You must think about your life. You must think about the things that you've done in your life. You must think about your future. You must think about your destiny. You must think about your dreams. You must think about your passions. Now, first, I want to say this. Is everybody hearing me well? Could I be turned up a bit? Everybody hearing me all right? Okay. You must think about those things that God has put in your heart. And if I were to ask you and you were to answer honestly this morning, are you truly pursuing the things that God has laid in your heart? Are you truly pursuing that which he has called you to do? Are you pursuing your dreams? Are you pursuing your passions? Are you pursuing that which the Holy Spirit has designed you for and made you for? Are you pursuing it? Are you running after it? Or have you settled? My message this morning is called Don't Settle. Have you settled into the land of familiar? Have you settled into the land of boring? Because it's just what you know. Or is there a stirring in your heart? Is there a passion in your heart? Is there something going on in you, but you don't really know what direction you should go, but you know it's the Holy Spirit of God? What have you settled for in your life? If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 11. And we're going to look at verses 27 to 32. It's the story of Abraham's father as they leave Ur of the Chaldeans, that land, as they leave that land and they go on a journey. But something takes place through the journey and they stop. They settle. And let's read all about it. If you have your Bibles, your iPhone, whatever you read the word with. Genesis chapter 11, verses 27 to 32. This is the account of Terah. Terah became the father of Abram, who is, of course, Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran became the father of Lot. While his father Terah was still alive, Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, in the land of his birth. So Terah's son Haran has passed away. Verse 29, Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife is Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. She was the daughter of Haran, the father of both Milcah and Iscah. Now, Sarah was barren. She had no children. That's speaking, of course, of Abraham's wife. Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law, Sarah, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. That's the NIV, the King James or New King James says they dwelt there. They landed there. They stayed there. I'm not sure what other translation you may be reading, but they settled there. I liked when I read that word. This was months ago as I was reading through this text. That word just leapt out at me. They settled there. Terah lived 205 years and he died in Haran. And 12:1, the Lord had said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. And Abraham heard this word long before Terah moved forward out of Ur of the Chaldeans. We read that in Acts chapter 7, verse 2. Canaan represents promise. Canaan represents fulfillment. Canaan represents new beginnings. Canaan represents purpose. Canaan represents divine destiny. It represents the land flowing with milk and honey. Canaan is not boring. Canaan is exciting. Canaan is God's will for this family. But somehow in the midst of the journey to Canaan, they get stuck and they settle. And write that word down. They settle in Haran. And what was happening with that and why that was if you study this out geographically, Ur of the Chaldeans is about 200 miles southeast from modern-day Iraq, or modern-day Baghdad in Iraq. It was the land in chapter 11 of the Tower of Babel and on, and we know that. They did not worship God, but they worshiped many idols. They were not God-fearing. They thought they had it all together. They became their own God, and that's when God brought all of the languages. Because he said he saw the unity, he saw what they were doing, and they were going to make this tower in the land of, I believe it's Shinar. And God saw that that was not good, and out of that came the languages. That's where we get the word babbling. Okay? We didn't get that word from living with our wives. Right, honey? It's my last Sunday. Leave me alone. So in the midst of it, they go. And why would Terah settle in Haran? It was familiar. They worshiped the exact same gods that they worshiped in Ur of Chaldean. It became familiar. You see, whenever God puts things on your heart, whenever you become unsettled, and I'm going to say throughout my message, the very thing that Becky and I are doing, stepping into the vastly unknown, but know it in our hearts, know it in our spirits, know what God is calling us to, but we can't script it. And for some of you, that's driving you more crazy than it's driving us crazy. Where are you going? What are you going to be doing? And my response is, I don't know, except I have a call to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so how that looks and how God is going to take us, we don't know. But you see, the danger is when we begin to step into dreams and begin to step into visions and begin to step into passions, we go back to the land that is familiar and we settle there. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Because stepping out is uncomfortable. Stepping out means change. It means not having all of the facts together. It means that we can't fully plan this. But for Terah, Abraham's father, it was, oh, this is familiar. They worship the gods that I'm used to. And if you read Joshua 23, Joshua explains that long ago, Abraham's father bowed down and worshiped other gods beyond the river. And they stopped and they settled in the land of familiar. What have you settled for in your life? Can we put that first slide up, please? What settlement have you made in your life? What have you settled for? What have you tolerated? What is your Haran? I want you to think about that for a bit this morning. We often start out our lives with big intentions. We start out our lives with dreams and visions. We have a sense of the wind of the Holy Spirit under our sails. And I heard this a while ago, that when God puts dreams and visions in our hearts, they have to go through the exact same process that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ went through. First, those dreams and visions are birthed in our heart. There's a birthing process. Secondly, and I never realized this, because when I look back at our own journey, when I look at back at my own walk with the Lord, those dreams and visions actually die. Because you feel like you're stuck in something. You feel like you can't push this thing through. And yet you feel so passionate about it that you long to do it because you feel that God has put it there. And yet we land in the land of familiar and we stop there. Because it's familiar, it feels safe. But I'm going to tell you, it's not safe. It's not good. Your heart will be stirred in the midst of it, and you know there's something bigger and greater and more wonderful. It's because God has put those things in your heart. But those dreams have to die. Those dreams literally get crucified, or that's what it feels like. But then God, by His Holy Spirit, begins to resurrect your dreams and your passions. And there's a reason He begins to do that. If you can do it, it's not God. And everything that we've put up personally on our vision wall at home, what we sense God is calling us to, there is not a chance that we can do it. It's got to take Almighty God. Because then when those dreams and those visions come to fruition, we stand back and say, all of the glory goes to God. The very steps that Becky and I are leaping into, the very things that God, we sense, is calling us to, just the step of faith that God's calling us to, is the exact, it won't look the same, but it's the very thing, Pastor Larry, that this church and River Valley Community Church is going to have to do. How can you be satisfied with the condition of our culture? How can you be satisfied with the condition of our nation? How can we as believers, followers of Christ, be settled into the fact that the government is dictating now to us as churches? How can we be okay with all of that? And the truth of the matter is, we've allowed it to happen. How can we be settled into the fact that they're telling us that you can just change your gender? How can we accept that? And I am not preaching against any human being or any person that needs the love of God, but how can the Church of Christ accept what the government is throwing down our throats? Please send this to the Prime Minister. How can we accept this? We've settled into complacency, and now we're being dictated to, and yes, dictated to, by certain measures that our government is doing. And if that makes you uncomfortable, we should be uncomfortable. Because the land that we need to step into is not comfortable. I cannot read in Scripture where God called His church to a life of comfort. I see where God has called us to a Holy Spirit-led life to preach the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. How can we be comfortable? It's just shocking what's going on. Outside of the comfort zone is the unfamiliar, and we don't feel that good when we're in it. And I will tell you that I, in the last few weeks, have faced many walls and thoughts of doubt, and many thoughts of fear, and many thoughts of how. But you know what? The why is more important than the how. The whys are always more important than the how. But you see, what you get is you get from people, how are you going to do this? How are you going to do that? How are you going to pay your mortgage? How are you going to pay for this? How are you going to pay for that? Where's God leading you? I don't know. But here's what I do know. The whys are far more important than the how. And the same God that supplied our need back here and here and here and here is the same God that's going to supply right here. Amen? That's our God. That's who we serve. We serve Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Some of you might be placed before kings. Some of us might stand before the Prime Minister and tell him in love, his policies are wrong. It's time some of us are put into places of discomfort so it's the Holy Spirit could speak through us, but always with the baptism of love. Amen. Yeah. The land of comfort's not comfort. For a season, it feels good. But how God begins to work in my life and our lives, he began to make us feel uncomfortable. We love this church. Our hearts will always be here. We love you. But we have to pursue what God has placed on our hearts. We must pursue the preaching of the gospel. And I said it Good Friday. I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it again. I believe heaven's going to be far more full than hell. That's the God we serve. And I just want to be used by him wherever God's going to take us, and away we go. But what settlement have you made in your life? Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe your marriage is very mediocre and you just go, oh, it's just the way it is. Maybe you've settled into anger. Maybe you've settled into bitterness. Maybe you've settled into doubt. We can't do that. How are we going to ever do that? Maybe you've settled into negativity. Maybe your personal walk with Christ is really lukewarm. I'm speaking to myself, by the way. Maybe we need to wade into the river a little bit deeper than ankle deep. What have you settled for? What have you settled for? Maybe your children aren't serving the Lord and you're just kind of throwing up your arms and going, whatever. Don't settle for that. Amen, church? Love them. Pray for them. Believe for them. Believe in them. It's hard. We're walking it. It's not easy. It's not easy. What's your land of familiar that you keep going back to? Let's go to Hebrews 11, 1 to 6. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Wow. Think about that. See, when you want everything scripted, it's not going to be scripted for you. We walk by faith, not by sight. That does not mean you put away good planning, you put away good thinking. That doesn't mean that. It means you're not going to see all the details. I'm convinced this church is in the midst of that, by the way. Come on, everybody, say amen. And you know what? Rejoice that you are, because that means God has incredible surprises for River Valley Community Church. Big surprises. Why does God want to do that? Why does God keep things in secret? He keeps things for us, not from us. He knows when to release them, and he knows how to prepare you for the release. If he does it too early, yes, church, the enemy can steal it. If he does it too early, we're not prepared. Is that his fault? No, that kind of rests on our shoulders. He keeps them for us, not from us. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man. When God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from his life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. He was raptured. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. Verse 6, do you remember I've said this a while ago? I've always preached that nothing is impossible with God. There is one thing. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. This walk with the Lord is a walk of faith because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. The word reward there in the Greek is he pays you. So if we take that, we could take that literally. We won't take that literally today, but there's a reward for pursuing God by faith. And faith doesn't have things scripted. In fact, when you do, faith makes others feel uncomfortable. Because many of you know there are things in your heart that you should be doing. And because of fear, because of doubt, or because of others saying, or you're worried what people will think. And please, in this last message, hear me. Don't worry what people think. You're not that popular. Seriously, do you think they're talking about you at supper? And who cares? Let's be concerned about what God thinks. Let's be concerned of what our Jesus thinks, our Master and our Savior. Because when you move in faith, all of a sudden, all the voices of negativity start to come out. It makes people feel uncomfortable. But faith says we move out without knowing all the details. Faith does not have it all figured out. We don't have it all figured out. How much have we got figured out, hon? Yeah, she laughs. It's true. We just know what God is calling us to. How's he going to get you? Not sure. What's it going to be like? Fun. Where's he taking you? To preach the gospel. What's going to happen? Oh, I pray people come to know Christ as Savior. Amen, church. That's what is so driving us. It drives me. And I have to face the doubt and I have to face the fear. I thought so much of my life I'd conquered it. But there it was the last few weeks. Right in my face. Whoa, what did we do? Of course we have those thoughts. Can we put up the next slide? What dreams or visions have you given up on? Take a moment. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. What dreams or visions have you given up on? Why did you settle? Why have you settled? Why'd you settle? Somebody told you you couldn't do it? Somebody said you weren't good enough? Somebody said you didn't have the talent? Somebody said, how are you going to pay your bills? Where are you going to get the money? How? Why don't you sit down and write the whys? The hows will always come. They'll always come. What dreams or vision have you given up on? I guarantee you I know something. The leadership of this church has a far bigger dream than what this building can hold. Amen. And it, by the way, it's not about buildings. It's about the people that need to be housed in the building. It's about people. It's all about people. If your dream is from God, it's going to be about people. And by the way, you're one of those people. Now, you're going to be shocked at this next statement, but that's okay. It's my last preaching Sunday I'm here. As I sat with the Lord early one morning, talking to the Lord about, Lord, where, you know, what's, where we're going, like what have you got for us? I heard the whisper, and God is in the whispers of the Holy Spirit. And he said, Mark, this is about you. I said, what are you talking about? This is about you. He said, no. You're a son. You're my son. This is about you. Now, that kind of went against my theology. How many of you know God loves to shake some of our theology? You bet he does. I said, what do you mean? No, this is about doing your work. He says, oh, you don't understand. See, he said, I predestined these works for you before the foundations of the world. And then I have been at work predestining you and shaping you into the image and into that which I built and designed you to do. And it's really about you. You're going to love where I'm taking you. We're so afraid to step out with God. You don't think he's got it beautifully scripted for us. We have preached here a good God. We preach a grace God. We preach a love God. We sometimes get beat up for that. Keep beating me up because I'm going to preach grace. It's the only message of the gospel. And even though we don't like what's going on in our culture, we have to preach grace, church. Because it's the only thing that will fix the culture. Somebody say amen. There's no other way but grace. But he said, it's about you. It's about Rebecca. I built you guys for this, and you're going to love it. And no more toiling, Mark. Keep in step with the Spirit. Rest in what the Holy Spirit will do. And right now, all I'm getting from the Lord is rest. Take time to rest. 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 But faith makes us all feel, for some reason, uncomfortable. Can we put up that next slide? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? What is God saying to you? Maybe for some of you, it's just, hey, I got to get my life right with God, and I got to do it this morning. I got to get on track. I am off track. I've got to get right with God. Some of your dreams maybe you feel have been stolen. Or you've prayed about them over and over and God is saying yes, but you keep stepping back into the land of familiar. What is the Spirit saying to you? And what is the Spirit saying to River Valley Community Church? And I don't know if you remember, I didn't get around to getting that slide up, but when Pastor Randy preached and he said, what are you hungry for? There was sure a big list of things that people are hungry for. Are you going to go back to the land of familiar? Or are you going to pursue that which you're hungering? Are you going to go after all that God has for you? But what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Because the Spirit leads us, and he leads us into good things. What is the Spirit saying to you? Jesus had a different word for settle. Let's go to Revelation. Let's go to 2 first. I might have put this down wrong, but let's just go to Revelation 2. No, it is Revelation 3, and we'll start at verse 14. To the church of Laodicea. He had a different word for settle. He says this in verse 14, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either one or the other. And you have to understand the geographical location of Laodicea. It was in a valley, mountains on both sides. On one side, the hot springs, the hot pool, the water flowed down. On another side, ice-cold water flowed down, and the two waters merged and became lukewarm. Have you ever had lukewarm water in your mouth? And he's saying, you are neither hot, which means healing, and you are neither cold, which means refreshing. You're neither. You've settled. You've settled for what you thought was right. You've settled for church traditions. You've settled that this is just the way we do church, Pastor Mark. Really, is it producing that which the Father has wanted it to produce? We settle into the familiar, and we all want a move of God, and we all want to change, but we don't like to change. Come on, that's the truth. We don't like to change. It means it's going to cost me something, and we don't like that. This family that we're journeying with, this Muslim family, it's costing us something, and I'm not saying that to you to lift me up. It's costing us time. It's costing us energy. It's costing us financially. There's a cost to pursuing the will of God. There's a cost to pursuing the Holy Spirit. And are we willing to step out and say, I'm willing to pay the price? Because we can't be satisfied with this. There's got to be more, amen. There has to be something more. Read the Gospels. When's the last time you've seen somebody raised from the dead in Medicine Hat? Pretty quiet in here. Exactly, Tina. And she's sitting right in the front row. Well, this is 2,000 whatever, Pastor Mark. Seriously, read the Bible. It's not a history book. It's a power book. It's alive. There has to be something more. Last night I was over at Muhammad and Hayat's, and she has a sister, a number of sisters in Jordan. And so she was FaceTiming with her sister in Jordan. And so her sister wanted to talk to me, and so through Nassar, he's the 12-year-old boy, he was doing the translating. What a circus, oh my goodness. But what a joy. So her sister is in Jordan. They've escaped. She has 7 children also. And she's begging me to help her get to Canada. Begging me. What am I supposed to do? Have you ever been faced with that? Stepping out in faith means you're going to feel weak. You will not have the strength to do the things that God has called you to do, but he has chosen the weak things of the world, the despised things. We're not supposed to be able to do it. It depends on God. It depends on the Holy Spirit. I said to Becky, give me the money and a Learjet and I'm going to get them. Can't you fly commercial? Much rather fly on a Lear. That family needs rescuing. That's uncomfortable. That doesn't make me feel good. And yet, I got to leave and go to the comfort of my home. But it doesn't make me feel good. Do you understand what I'm saying? Stepping out with God is not easy. He didn't say this life would be comfortable. In fact, he calls us to death. And then you find your life because you're raised up into that which God wants you to be. We have to die daily. And for North American Christians, that is, man, that's so foreign to us. We've had it so good. We've had it so good. Next slide. If you were given the news that in 7 days you were going to die, what would you change? I'm going to let you think on that while I get a drink of water. The answer's not your underwear. Okay? If you were given the news that in 7 days you were going to die, what would you change? I set you up for this, so forgive me. If you have to do a bunch of changes, you're not living the way God wants you to live. Ouch. Seriously. We should just probably call our family together. If we have to change a bunch of things, are we truly living the passionate, sold-out life that Christ has called us to live? That's not meant to hurt anybody. It's meant to get us thinking. Last slide. There should be one that, yep. All right. Dr. Martin Luther King's mentor was Dr. Howard Thurman. And he made a statement that said the best way for any of us to pass from this life into eternity when we know Christ would be to have family members around us, praying for us, saying our goodbyes, saying we're going to see one another later on. It would be the absolute best way, if we could, to pass away. But he said this, and I want you to read this, and I want you to listen to this, because when I heard this statement, this was one a number of months ago that just so confirmed what God has put in our hearts. Imagine, if you will, being on your deathbed, and standing around you are the ideas, the dreams that have been given to you by life and by God, the talents and gifts that you never nurtured or developed, the skills that you never did anything with, standing around your bed, looking at you with large, angry eyes and saying this, instead of your family members, all of the dreams, the talents, the passions, the visions, they're standing around your bed and they're saying this: we came to you, only you could have given us life. Now we must die with you forever. So the question is this: if you die now, what dreams, what ideas, what talents, what abilities and skills, what books, what sermons, what business ideas that only you were given will die with you? Think about that. River Valley Community Church, Pastor Larry and the leadership team, don't let your dreams die with you. Don't let your visions die with you. Don't let your passions die with you. Whatever they are, go for it. And everybody said, don't let those things die with you. They were given to you by Almighty God. He built you to do it. Only you can do what He built you to do. And He did it because He loves you. Don't go back to the land of familiar. Keep pressing through your fear and your doubt and your discouragement or whatever the enemy's trying to hit you with. Go for it. Go for it. Go in faith. Run the race that's marked, that's set before you. Because, man, and this isn't our theology here, but somebody said the definition of hell would be that on your last day on this earth, you meet the person God designed you to be. That's not our definition of hell here, by the way, but that would be pretty bad. I want to stand before Jesus, and I want to meet Him. Anybody there with me? I've met the Master. He lives in my heart, but I want to meet Him. He'll undo me. I know that. But all I want to hear Him say, you went for it. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen, church. Pastor Larry.
Pastor Mark. Pastor Mark and Rebecca, you're up here now. I'm going to ask the other pastors and their spouses and also our deacon board members if you would join us up here, as well as Barbara, if you could come, and also Pastor Keith, if you would join us up here as well. We're going to have a prayer for this couple. Why don't you folks come in here? There we go. I know tonight we're going to have a great send-off. In our minds as we're planning this, I think we had a lot of fun roasting him already, but we're going to have a lot of fun this evening. But this morning we want to, in all honor, bless Mark and Rebecca for their time with us. You know, I have to say that it was the last time that Herb Lee was here. We had a meeting with the deacons and the elders together here with our spouses, and we were in a circle at the front here. We had a circle of chairs. And Herb went to each one of us, and he prayed for each one of us and spoke into our lives. And when that was all finished, we were just sitting and chatting, and I looked across the little circle, and there was Pastor Mark. And in a spirit, this has never happened much before with me, but in a spirit, I looked at Pastor Mark, and he was wearing a pair of eagle's wings. And I did a double take, and I had to blink my eyes. It was as if I could have walked over and plucked feathers out of you, Mark. And the wings, and your wings were up like this. And as soon as I saw that in my spirit, I thought, Pastor Mark is ready to take off. He's going to be going. He's going to be leaving us. And it was about 3 days later, you and I had coffee, and you said, we're going to be going. And you know, that thing about eagle's wings is pretty powerful. And you talked about rest, Pastor Mark, and you're going to get some rest. It's listed in the bulletin, but we wanted you to know as a church that we're a church where we're creating more and more a culture of honor amongst us. It begins with leadership, and it belongs and has to happen with all of us in the body of Christ. We want to honor one another and how we relate to one another in the body of Christ. And Pastor Mark's last working day is today. So if you've got a concern or a need, yeah, midnight tonight is the deadline. So Monday morning, it's too late. It's too late. But as a church, we have, as leadership, we are honoring Pastor Mark. You know, he came to the deacon board a while ago already, some time ago, and had plans and asked for a time of sabbatical. And within our church, we have a policy that allows pastors to take a sabbatical after so many years served. And that was certainly an important thing for you to do. At that time, you were not thinking of leaving the church. And so we agreed, yes, of course, that sabbatical is important for you to take. And then sometime after that, you decided that there was a time frame that you needed to leave within. And as we talked about it, it wasn't much of a discussion. It was just an acknowledgement. Well, when Pastor Mark leaves, he needs to be blessed with that sabbatical time and that month of holidays that you had coming from this last year as well, because we want to honor you. And we also recognize that rest is important, because we know that God is going to be giving you rest, but then also revving you up for ministry, that you are going to need all of the energy that God will give you. And so it's important for all of us to know that we're blessing and honoring Pastor Mark and Rebecca with this time. In Isaiah chapter 40, it says that, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And Mark and Rebecca, you have run. You have flown. You have worked very hard for 11 years. And then the last several years as we came together as two churches. And this has been a joy and a privilege, a huge privilege for us to work together as brothers and as churches together as we've come together. And we want you to have that rest, as I've said a moment ago. But I just need to say again before all of us as a congregation, I know that Pastor Mark, you had said that you really wanted to make sure with God's help that you would finish well. And you have run and walked and served well up until even today. And the message that you gave to us today, we will take to heart, right? We will take to heart. And you have finished very well. You've been a delight to serve alongside of, and you have been a huge blessing to people of our congregation, people of this community, people of this city. You've been a blessing to the Evangelical Association of Medicine Hat, many other pastors and churches as well. And so as we close the service this morning, I see Dennis isn't here. I know that I talked with him yesterday. He's got lots of calves happening right now. So I'm just going to spring it on one of the other board members, but we're also going to have Barbara pray a blessing over you and Rebecca, over you as a couple, one of the other board members, and then Pastor Keith will have you pray a blessing as well. You were responsible for bringing Pastor Mark and Rebecca here 11 years ago. The Lord was, and you were obedient. And then after you folks have prayed over Pastor Mark, you're going to close the service as well. So, Barb, let's start with you. Let's bow in prayer.
I'm just going to read a scripture that came to my heart when I was thinking about Pastor Mark and Becky. Bear with me, everybody. I just need to open my phone. It's from Isaiah 55, verse 10. I'm just going to come stand before you guys. Actually, starts from verse 2. So when I was, when Pastor Larry called me and asked me to pray for both of you, it was really a great joy for me. And I was thinking about the time that I've been here, I've lost count. And this is the scripture that came to my heart, Isaiah 54, sorry, verse 2. Enlarge the site of your tent to make room for more children. I used the Amplified version because for me that made more sense. And I remember when we had Bible study the last time, I said it's the next chapter, and you said, no, Barb, it's the next book. So you're starting a new book impacting the lives of many, more children, as this scripture says. Stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare them, Pastor Mark and Becky, because God has you. He's on your side. He's got your back. He has already done it for you. All you need to do is just to step into it and be obedient to this call that he has called you to. And it says, lengthen your tent ropes and make your pegs, stakes firm in the ground, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. So there's more souls that need to be reached. You're going to impact lives, giving people's lives a meaning, and that's the call. I always say to myself when I get up in the morning, what's a life without Christ? It's a life not lived. And you've just started to live because you're going to bring many hearts to the Father, and that's his will for us, and that's what he's called us to do. And I just want to thank both of you, even as I pray for you, as I speak into your lives. I thank God for each and every one of you, for both of you. You have really been such a blessing, not only to the body here at River Valley, but to myself too and my family. I really thank God for both of you. So let us pray. Father God, I thank you as we stand in your presence this morning. You're an awesome God. You're a wonderful, a good, good, good Father. We thank you for Pastor Mark and Becky. And we thank you, Father God, for this new book that you are writing by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you that you are ordering their steps. You have already gone where they are going, Father God, making everything to order, my Lord and my God. We thank you that in the mighty name of Jesus, oh Father God, you're providing for them. As I speak into their lives right now, Almighty God, you are the same God that commanded light to be. May you be with them. May the light shine bright, oh Father God, in everything that they are doing. You are the same God that made a way for Israel, Father God, to cross. May you also make a way for Pastor Mark and Becky, Father God, as they begin this new book in the mighty name of Jesus. You are the same God, oh Father God, the same one that provided for Elijah in the brooks, Almighty God. And I know, Father God, that you never let us down. You will provide for them. You will meet them at every point of need, Almighty God. Father God, I thank you that you are the same God that raised Jesus from the dead, oh Father God. And I thank you that by that same Spirit, that same power that you raised Jesus by, oh Father God, it is the same Spirit that is in Pastor Mark and Becky, oh Father God, causing them, Father, to be empowered, oh Father God, to do that, Father, which you have called them to do. The Holy Spirit leading them, Almighty God, opening doors that no man has ever opened, oh God, reaching lives, oh Father God, to the ends of the earth, Almighty God, for that is the calling that you have upon their lives. Father God, I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. May you bless them. May you equip and fashion them, oh Father God, for this great and mighty work that is before them. Father, we thank you for their lives. We thank you for their ministry. We thank you, Father God, that this is not the end. It is just the beginning. And we know that you are in it and that you have them, their backs, and that you are on their side. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor for all the testimonies and all the reports that they will share with us in the years to come. Father, we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Pastor Mark and Rebecca, I'd like to say thank you for all you've done for myself, my family, and everyone here. You've become part of our lives. You've been there for good, sad, joy, all those things. And I speak not only on my behalf, but the leadership and the congregation. We could tell stories of all the things you've done, how many times you were there for us, all the time. We're grateful the Lord's taking you, but we're going to miss you very much because you are a part of our hearts now. When I think about you guys, I just see it's kind of cool because it's like being in a place like Borders and Walls, and now it's just everything's coming down. Everything's coming down. It's like putting you in some place that it's free. Everything is free. I'm so grateful that the Lord's allowing you to rest now. You've been busy. You've been so working so hard all these years. So I'm so grateful that you'll have a rest first. So Lord, as we come before you, we're all so grateful for allowing Pastor Mark and Becky to be a part of our lives, to be a part of this church. We're grateful, Lord. And I know, Lord, that you continually remind me that it's about you, not about me, not about us. It's about you. It's not even about them. It's about you, Lord. And we're grateful for that, Lord, and we thank you. Thank you, Lord, you're going to give them a rest. Thank you, Lord, that they are stepping into something that's so new and so different. And thank you, Lord, the anointing that rests upon Pastor Mark and upon Rebecca. I ask that you stir it. I ask that fire in their hearts just be stirred in a new and fresh way like never before, that they go forward, not as Pastor Mark and wife Becky, but as Pastor Mark and Becky, together, their ministry together as they go forth from here. I ask that you bless them in everything they need, and we thank you, Lord, for what you've done and continue to do. And we're grateful, Lord, that we are a part of this exciting day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Lord, thank you for this privilege to lay my hands upon Mark and Rebecca. I know the calling that you have given them. I remember when you started them into the ministry, and I remember what you told me to tell them, and you have worked that in their lives over these years many years for me. And Lord, I ask right now, that when this sabbatical and time of rest is over, which they need and which is in your plan, that, Lord, you will enable them to return to the call that you've given them, evangelism, yes, to reach people, that they will respond to that call of following you, Lord, the people that hears his voice and hears the message that Rebecca and him bring to before you, Lord, and bring to those people. Now, Lord, I'm thankful for this privilege to lay my hands on them as they will lay hands on many people yet to come. Yes, thank you for all of the people that they've already laid hands on. But, Lord, you're not slowing up their ministry at all. No. You're enlarging it.
Yes, Lord.
And
yes,
you're strengthening it by that power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. So I submit them to your call, and I will look for it to be fulfilled in the time that you give me. In Jesus' name, God bless Mark and Rebecca.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Very meaningful. Thank you, Larry.
Let me get my balance.
Do you want to walk? Roxy, would you come? You know what? Would you folks just stay here? Because I think there's people that are going to come that need your prayer today. So, Roxy, would you just play? And if you're here today and you don't know Christ, or you need to make a fresh commitment, why don't you come? Somebody will pray with you. Or if you've given up on some dreams, visions, passion, and you want to just say, you know what, will you pray with me? I want to rekindle that. I want to go for it. I just want to do what God wants me to do. As Roxy's playing, as I close the service, would you come forward and people will pray with you? Let's lift our hands. Father, I thank you for this amazing church. Thank you for the blessing of the Lord. Thank you for what you are going to do in the midst of River Valley Community Church. And Father, I pray that you will exponentially multiply their influence in Medicine Hat. But it's going to take them also stepping out, Lord. Increase the blessing of this church body, we pray. I pray for Pastor Larry and Terry. I pray for strength upon them, Lord. I pray for a double anointing, Father. We speak that over them, and for Ken and Carol and Randy and Ida and the leadership team. We pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to flood this church, for revival to come, renewal and refreshing, we pray.
bless the church in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here and you want prayer, come. Just come, and people will pray with you. And they'll believe for you and in you. And the Lord bless you, and I hope to see you all tonight for filet mignon. God bless you.